This is the Hot Corner on the Sports Superstation with your host, Ryan McKenna.
The second season of the Hot Corner is officially on the air, folks. Welcome, I'm Ryan McKenna, and alongside me is our senior baseball analyst here at Sports Superstation, Adam Connolly. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. So Adam, I appreciate you joining me, man.
No problem, thanks for having me.
For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, this is our first of three tune-up episodes before the 2010 Major League Baseball season, which starts April the 4th. Today, Adam and I will be previewing the AL and NL West. The NL West is arguably one of the wildest divisions, in my opinion. I'm not sure about you, Adam, but with teams in that division like the Dodgers, Rockies, and Giants, who knows what we'll see from all three of those teams, who all had impressive years last year. So I guess my first question for you, what is your overall opinion on the NL West?
Well, like you say, I think it's a fairly wide open division. I don't think there's anyone that really stands out. In fact, the division's probably gotten weaker since last year. A lot of teams didn't really do a whole lot to improve. Dodgers in particular really stood pat with their financial situation. So it should be an interesting year to see who comes out on top of that division.
All right, moving on now to the AL West division, which I would say has been fairly well dominated by the LA Angels over the past number of years now. Do you see any change in scenario this year?
Yeah, I think so. The Angels lost a lot of guys this past offseason. They picked up a few guys, but nothing to make up for the losses that they had. So, well, I still think they'll be solid. I definitely don't think they'll run away with the division. I think the AL West will be a lot closer than it has been the last few years.
Alrighty. It's time now for our big breakdown of all the teams in the AL and NL West, starting with the AL West.
American League West Division.
All right, the Los Angeles Angels are coming off their third straight division title. They posted a 97-65 win-loss record last season and have a payroll of $113,709,000. The Angels will also be hosting this year's Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which takes place at their Angel Stadium on July the 13th. The Angels had a fairly quiet offseason as they only added two players in the likes of Hideki Matsui, who is coming over as the reigning World Series MVP and will be the Angels' designated hitter. Also added to the squad is Fernando Rodney, who played for the Detroit Tigers last year and posted a 2-5 record along with a 4.40 ERA. Rodney also posted 37 saves and will compete for the closer's job with Brian Fuentes. Now, Adam, the Angels' biggest move this offseason was arguably not signing guys such as Kelvin Escobar, Sean Figgins, Vladimir Guerrero, and the biggest, John Lackey. Which one of these guys will be the guy that the Angels will miss the most?
I think that while Lackey will be missed because he's an ace pitcher, I think Sean Figgins will be the guy they miss the most. Their pitching is still, fairly solid with guys like with Weaver and Saunders, Irving, Santana and whatnot, and then Pinero, like you mentioned, they picked up as well. So their pitching should still be all right, but the one thing this team struggled in the last couple of years is really with putting up a lot of offense, and Figgins was a real catalyst for that. He was a leadoff guy, he got on base a lot, scored a lot of runs, he could steal, he kind of played right into the kind of baseball Mike Socha likes to play, so I think he'll be missed the most.
All right. The biggest question mark I have, personally, for the Angels this year is Kenry Morales, who had a strong year last year, batting .306 with 34 home runs and 108 RBIs. I think if Morales provides solid offense, then the Angels should be okay. What is your biggest question mark for this squad?
I think a guy like Morales is definitely going to keep improving. He's a very good hitter. My biggest question would be, again, getting guys on base to score runs with guys like Morales and Hunter and Abreu. They got some guys that can hit and they got some power there, but it's going to be who are going to be setting the table with someone like Figgins gone now. Getting guys on base for those guys to drive in, I think, will be their biggest issue.
Their biggest issue. All right. That's it for the Los Angeles Angels. Now, the Seattle Mariners finished the 2009 season with an 85-77 record and sat 10 games back of the Angels last year. The Mariners have not made the playoffs in the last 5 years, but as we saw in the offseason, Adam, this team is going to make a good run for the division this year, in my opinion at least. The Mariners were part of the biggest steal this offseason when they received Cliff Lee from the Philadelphia Phillies. Other notables that were added to the Mariners were Sean Figgins coming over from the Angels and the often disgruntled Milton Bradley. Of those three guys, Adam, which one do you like the most to perform well for the Mariners?
Well, I do like Figgins, as I mentioned previously. Not only the Mariners adding him, but taking away from a division rival was huge. But I think of those three, I'd have to go with Lee. He's pitched so well the last couple of years. Him and combining him with Felix Hernandez is a wicked 1-2 monster there at the top of the rotation. So if this team can get into the playoffs, whether by winning the West or with the wild card, I wouldn't want to face them in a best of five series when you can throw those two guys out there possibly for two starts each.
Well, exactly, yeah. Another guy that the Mariners added is highly touted prospect, second baseman and outfielder, Dustin Ackley. Ackley was selected second overall in last year's MLB entry draft and hit 315 in the Arizona Fall League. Adam, do you believe Ackley will see any playing time in the MLB this summer?
I would be surprised if he did. He has played in college, so he's not like some of the guys that get drafted right out of high school who definitely take a couple of years. So you never know. But if Seattle's playing well, like I expect, and they're in the playoff hunt coming down, you know, towards the end of the season, chances are they're not going to throw a rookie into the mix. I know, unless he's, you know, if he's really tearing it up in the minors, maybe, or if they have a couple injuries, perhaps. But I would be surprised if he's there this year.
All right. And there you have it, folks. I believe with all of Seattle's work this offseason, their stock has gone way up. Moving on now to the Texas Rangers from the Lone Star State. The Rangers finished last season 10 games back of the Angels and 8 games back of the wildcard winning Boston Red Sox. Overall last season, the Rangers were 87-75. Adam, do you think it would be safe to say that the Rangers organization has improved a lot from the 08 ball season?
Oh, no question. They've come a long way. They've always been able to hit the ball. Last year, they finally started to get in some pitching. They got a lot of good young players, some of which they acquired through trades, the Mark Teixeira trade with the Braves in particular, but also have drafted really well. So they've got a really good farm system. They got a lot of good young players, and that team is definitely on the up and up.
John Daniels did not make a lot of moves this offseason, acquiring only 5 guys. The biggest one will probably be Rich Harden, the Victoria, BC native, coming over from the Cubs, where he posted a 9-9 record. Do you believe that he will find success this season with the Rangers club?
Well, with Harden, it always comes down to injuries. This guy's had as much talent as any pitcher, really, for the last number of years, just with Oakland and the Cubs, but never was able to stay on the mound. Now, pitching in Texas, of course, is a hitter's ballpark, so that might hurt his numbers a little bit, but again, at the same time, he's going to get lots of run support. So if he can stay healthy, I think he absolutely will find success. But, you know, as we've seen in the past, health has been his biggest issue, so it'll all come down to that.
Exactly. The Rangers do start the season April 5th against the Canada's ball team, the Toronto Blue Jays. Wrapping up the AL West is the Oakland Athletics. The Athletics have struggled the last few seasons, averaging only 75 wins. And yes, I did the math, folks, in the past 3 seasons. Adam, do you think we will expect anything big from Billy Beane's club this summer, or will it be another 75-win season?
I definitely think that Oakland is the fourth of the 4 teams in the West. They could improve upon the 75 wins for sure. I mean, they got a young team. I still think they're a couple years away from really doing a lot of damage in the West. But, you know, with the Angels kind of taking a step back, I think all 4 teams are reasonably close. So, you know, you never know with Oakland. Sometimes they sneak out of nowhere and they do well. So I would pick them to finish fourth, but it wouldn't shock me if they ended up finishing, you know, close to the top. I don't think they'll win the division, but, you know, second or third wouldn't be out of the question.
One guy that there's been a lot of talk about, Brett Anderson. Is this guy for real, and do you think he will help the club this year?
Oh, I definitely think he's for real. This guy looks like he's got as much talent as most pitchers out there. He's a lefty. He's got a lot of baseball sense. As they say, his baseball IQ is as good as most pitchers. So I definitely think he'll help this year, and he's going to continue to be better. I think Anderson's definitely going to be a perennial Cy Young candidate here in the next 2 or 3 years' time. So look out for him.
Good stuff. That's it for the AL West. Now, moving on now to the NL West.
The National League West Division.
The Los Angeles Dodgers booked their ticket into the postseason last year after shaking out the Rockies and winning the NL West by 3 games. The Dodgers had quite a large makeover in the offseason, signing only Jamie Carroll. And I say only, as they lost 15 guys to free agency or trades, arbitration, etc. Adam, will this hurt the Dodgers this year, losing so many guys?
It will hurt. They didn't lose anyone really, really important, I don't think. But the fact that they basically picked up nobody definitely will hurt them. It's no secret that, of course, there with the divorce going on and whatnot has really hampered their ability to spend any money and pick up players. So I definitely think that's going to hurt the Dodgers. I think they were, I still think they're an ace away from possibly being the best team in the National League, but they need to pick up that guy. They went after Halliday last year. They weren't able to get him, and I think that's the type of guy that they need to get if they're gonna really make a push to do much in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're talking about their starting rotation. That's my biggest question for the Dodgers this year. The Dodgers went after Roy Halliday, as you mentioned, at the deadline last year, and also over the winter, but just couldn't get him. I think we'll see another solid season from Clayton Kershaw behind Chad Billingsley, but Billingsley will definitely be the biggest question mark for me. On what looked like a great season last year, he only won 2 of his last 10 starts and pitched only 3 1/3 innings in an 11-0 rout in the first round of the playoffs. If he can't find consistency down this stretch in 2010, then expect the Dodgers to trade away some of their offense for a decent pitcher. Would you agree with me on that, Adam?
Yeah, I think so. I think a guy like Kershaw, I don't think I'd move him. I think he, kind of like Brett Anderson, the great young lefty, I think he's only going to get better and better. Billingsley is a tough guy to get a read on. He's got a lot of potential. He strikes out over batter per inning. He's got great stuff. And like you say, last year started off the year great and really faded down the stretch. So if he can bounce back, you know, then they'll contend with that 1-2 punch. But like you say, Billingsley's the question mark. If he pitches more like he did at the end of last year as compared to the start of the year, then the Dodgers will be in trouble. And as far as trading some offense to get a pitcher, they definitely need a pitcher, whether they trade some offense or prospects or what. I think even if Kershaw and Billingsley do pitch well, the Dodgers are still going to need a pitcher to make much damage in the playoffs, assuming they get up against a team like St. Louis or Philadelphia.
Exactly. I know you have Billingsley in your fantasy pool. Is he a guy that you would sell or buy this year?
Well, he's a guy that I would, you know, someone like myself who has him on my team, I would hold on to him, because I think after the way he finished last year, his stock is probably down, down considerably. So if you're in a league that you don't have him, if you can pick him up on the cheap because of the way he pitched last year, I would definitely do so, because I definitely think he's the type of guy that, you know, he can be a beast and put up big numbers if he gets things together. So he's a guy to look out for sure.
Sounds good. After a great 2007 campaign where the Colorado Rockies won the NL pennant but lost in the World Series to the Red Sox, it was a disappointing 2008 season when they only won 74 games and didn't make the playoffs. 2009 was a different story. Led by manager Jim Tracy, the Rockies made the playoffs, winning a tight NL wildcard, and had an overall record of 92-70. A lot of the Rockies' success came from the breaking out of outfielders Carlos Gonzalez and Dexter Fowler. Adam, do you think we will see good play from these guys again in 2010?
I think so, yeah. Those both guys are up-and-coming players. Gonzalez in particular is a guy I really like. I think he was a big part of a few trades. He's a big part of the trade that brought Dan Heron to Oakland from Arizona. The other way around.
Yeah.
And then he was the big part of the Matt Holliday deal as well. So I really like Gonzalez. Fowler's a solid player as well, so I think both guys can continue to put up good numbers.
Jeff Francis, he's from Vancouver, British Columbia, a Canadian boy. He did not play in 2009. Do you think he will fit back into the rotation okay?
Tough to say. I hope so. I see the Canadian guy doing well. Francis had some, any time of shoulder surgery is really hard to predict. Arguably, it's a worse injury to have than something like Tommy John surgery as far as coming back from it. So, I think he's definitely got the potential there. The Rockies don't have a real deep rotation, so if he can come out in the spring and show that he can pitch well, I definitely think he's got a shot to crack the rotation. Hopefully, over time, he can build up strength in the shoulder and get back to his, the ace form that he had in 07. But it's hard to say. I'll definitely be rooting for him, and hopefully he'll get back there.
Good stuff. With arguably the best pitcher and ugliest in the National League, and two-time defending NL Cy Young Award winner Tim Lincecum, who went 15-7 in 2009, the San Francisco Giants will be a team to contend with in 2010. They posted 16 more victories in 2009 than 2008, and seen many good things from both their offense and pitching. Pablo Sandoval, the Panda, as some like to call him, had a breakout year in San Fran, which is also the headquarters for Sports Superstation in the USA. I might mention, and Sandoval hit .330 with 25 home runs and 90 RBIs. The 2009 Giants also saw a no-hitter by Jonathan Sanchez, the 28-year-old, and there was also signs of Barry Zito of old at times last season with that deadly 12-6 curve. Who will lead the charge for the Giants in 2010?
Well, I think you summed it up. On the mound, they'll be tough. Lincecum is the best pitcher probably in baseball right now, and Matt Cain as well. those are, that's probably the best 1-2 punch you're going to find. Kane is really underrated. I think that if he was on a team that, you know, wasn't overshadowed by Lynch, he could have a lot more rave reviews. But those two guys will be beasts for sure on the mound. And like you mentioned, Sandoval, this is a guy I really like. I think he's going to become, you know, one of the best, you know, biggest offensive corner infielders in the National League. So I think he's definitely, you know, the Giants don't have a terrific offense, so they're going to rely on him a lot, but I think he'll be able to carry the load.
Exactly. And also, just a notice to fantasy baseball folks, you might want to take a good look at Buster Posse after getting rid of Benji Molina and not offering him arbitration. Buster Posse, the 6'1", 205-pound catcher, has a good shot at becoming the number one guy in San Francisco. He hit .321 in 35 games for the Giants' AAA affiliate, Fresno. The Arizona Diamondbacks have made a big splash in the 2009-2010 offseason. They traded for Edwin Jackson from Detroit and got Ian Kennedy from the Yankees in the Curtis Granderson deal. AJ Hinch, having never managed a team before in his life, was thrown into the manager position in May of last year. He will definitely have to gain confidence from his players of the Diamondbacks to succeed this season, or, rumor has it, Adam Connolly, our senior baseball analyst, will be taking his spot. On paper, the Arizona club looks not too bad. They have a fairly good starting rotation and a decent offense. The big question mark, however, is their farm system. Adam, do you think the Diamondbacks will trade Brandon Webb, who is in the final year of his contract, for a few good prospects to help their farm system?
Well, with Webb, it really depends a lot on how he comes back. He's coming off injury as well. If he can come back and pitch, you know, like the ace that he was before, he was, you know, a top three pitcher in the National League before last season. If he can go back and pitch well, and the Diamondbacks are not real close to being in it at the deadline, I could definitely see them trading him off. At the same time, with the National League being probably one of the weaker leagues or more balanced leagues, you know, if Webb comes back healthy, along with Dan Heron, another good 1-2 punch there, they could be right in the midst of things, so you wouldn't think that they're going to, you know, do too much, too many moves.
You never know. Now, wrapping up the NL West is the San Diego Padres. After making the playoffs in 05 and 06, the Padres have been up and down. 2009 was a little better than 2008, when they only won 63 games, finishing the 2009 season with a 75-87 record, 17 games behind the Dodgers. It is quite evident that the Padres will need to get their offense going. In all 9 batting categories, they ranked 30th in 4 categories, and the only category in which they finished less than 20th was runners left on base. The Adrian Gonzalez trade talks have been aplenty all winter long and continue as we begin spring training games. My first question for you, Adam, regarding the Padres squad is about Gonzalez. I know you want him dealt to Boston. Are they a real-time contender for him as a destination to be dealt? Or will the Padres hang on to Gonzalez for the season?
I definitely think Gonzalez will be traded. They just, with his contract coming to a close here in the next couple of years, he's going to be asking for big money. He's already said that he's not going to take a hometown discount. He's from San Diego. He likes to play there, but at the same time, he wants to play for a contending team. So I don't think there's any doubt he'll be traded. If not this deadline, definitely in next offseason. But I can see him being traded this year. I definitely think Boston is a contender. A lot of people think they're the number one team to get him, and I hope that's true. He's definitely going to, you know, there's definitely going to be some other teams involved. The Mariners and the White Sox are both said to be, you know, really hard after him. Actually, Jake Peavy, who was traded to the White Sox last year, has been making a push to get him over in Chicago. So, while I think Boston definitely has a chance to get him, they won't be the only team going for him, that's for sure.
Finally, the last question will probably be a pure guess, but when will we see Donovan Tate, the third overall pick in last year's entry draft, coming out of high school? When will we see him in the Padres lineup?
Well, Tate, unlike Ackley, who we talked about earlier, like I said, came from high school. Those guys definitely need a little more seasoning. So while a guy like Ackley could make an impact this year, next year probably for sure, Tate is probably a couple years away. He's very athletic, he's got a lot of skill, but he's pretty raw. He's going to need some tuning in the minors. So I think it'll probably be, I'd say you'll be looking at, you know, 2012 at the absolute earliest before we'll see Tate in the lineup. Plus, a team like the Padres aren't going to be, you know, at the top of the standings, chances are anyway, so they're going to be in no hurry to move him along. They're going to make sure he's nice and seasoned in the minor leagues, and then before they give him a crack.
Exactly. All right, so that finished our breakdown of all teams. Finally, Adam, who do you see winning both of these divisions in the AL and NL?
I actually would probably have to go with, in the NL West, probably would go with the Rockies, I would think. I think the Dodgers could be right there if they pick up a pitcher, but it just their situation right now, I don't think that's going to happen. So I think that could be a division where the Giants could sneak in there. Arizona, maybe, if they have a good year, could sneak in there. But I would go with Colorado. And in the AL, I would probably take the Mariners. I think it's going to be really a three-team dogfight with Seattle and Anaheim and Texas. And Oakland could be troublesome, too. So, but I think out of those top three, it really could be anyone. But just that 1-2 punch of Lee and Hernandez, I think Seattle will be right there. Plus, you know, obviously they're going all in kind of for this year, making the trade for Lee. So if they're able to pick up a big bat like Gonzalez or someone else at the deadline, then I think they'll be really tough to beat.
Exactly. You stole all my picks, but that's okay. I'm going to pick the Mariners and Rockies as well. I don't think Manny will provide the offense that everyone expects from him for the Dodgers, and I think Cliff Lee will continue to be the spectacular pitcher he is for the Mariners squad. So there you have it, folks, the first breakdown of the six MLB divisions. Two down, four to go. Thanks a lot for this, Adam. I know our listeners value your opinion quite a bit. Adam will join me again next